just got three things that I kind of want to focus. And one of the reasons I get us all together is, number one, obviously the synergy that happens when you see other people serving and you show up and things like that. But the other thing is, with one voice, I'm able to communicate some of the things that I believe are super important if you are a volunteer here, if you are a part of the Helps ministry here. I often say that the greatest gift, the greatest anointing on this church, some might think it's the prosperity anointing and the prosperity teaching and stuff like that. No, it's not that. Some might think it's the healing, you know, because Pastor Angela has a healing gift. No, our dominant gift, our dominant anointed gift is Helps. And I say that, but yet many don't really understand what Helps is. And I'm not going to teach a whole lesson on Helps. But really, Helps really is one of those anointed gifts that nobody wants to sign up for. And here's some of the reasons why. Because when you help, sometimes I don't see a reward. When you help, sometimes people will string along to help as long as they can to get as much out of them. Sometimes the help gets walked on. Sometimes the help looks like they're being used and abused. But the Lord told me, he gave me a different revelation on help. Because while everybody was, you know, coveting the best gifts like evangelism and pastor and teacher and prophet and miracle worker, I began to notice, okay, God, I'm called to do these things, but I find myself helping all the time. And I find myself always signing up for stuff that I don't even know how to do. And then you anoint me to do it after I've done it. And it's a blessing to people. But then I started getting tired. So this is one of my first points. Somebody say fatigue, fatigue, fatigue. Started getting tired because I had a key at the church that I used to attend. I was one of the key holders, and all the ministers were key holders. And no one had a list where they were assigned to lock up or open. It was just whoever was there, whoever was available. So what happened was, right after church, what happened? People would just be out. Like on Thursday nights, that was when we had our worship, our Bible study night. People would be out. I mean, every minister with a key would be gone. And I would be with Pastor Angela just waiting for the last few people who love Jesus. And y'all know how everybody like to talk after church. And I'd have to go and dim the lights. And all right, y'all, folk got to work tomorrow. And I'd end up locking up all the time. And most of the time, I'd end up even opening for a lot of different things. And the reason I did was because somebody said he was faithful. Because that's what I was called to do. I was like, God, didn't nobody else call me to do that? God, it was great that I had this. But after I started really getting low-key frustrated, what you mean low-key? I ain't saying nothing about it. But I was salty that all the ministers was leaving with a key. And thank God that I did not vent my frustrations to others. Because that's one of the ways that you sabotage the reward that you have stored up from serving. Didn't do that, but I went to God. I finally said, God, look, you know, I know somebody else loves you like I love you. You know, can somebody else help? And so first thing I said, he says, if people want to give up their blessing, you take it. So I was like, oh, that's cool. Then I said, wait a minute, I've been taking it. I don't see nothing. And so God began to, you know, share with me after I really got the revelation on, you know, on faith that I can sow, I can support, I can serve, but if I don't speak, I won't see my reward. Okay. A lot of you serve in a lot of different capacities. And the Bible, it's in Proverbs. It says hope, I think it's Proverbs 13:11. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I know many people are called to this ministry. You know, we've got 600 to 700 members, and it seems like there should be way more, you know, way more people activated and moving. And even though it's a great, great deal, it's, you know, close to 100, 120 y'all that you know, work and stuff like that. I also see some low-key fatigue in some of you from time to time. And I realize if you don't get this disciplined to speak the blessing into manifestation, if you don't get this disciplined, you can serve and you'll have things stored up, but you won't see manifestation. Whether it's in the band, whether it's in the worship team, whether it's you serve in hospitality or media or, oh gosh, children's church. The thing to understand is God said he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? He said he's the rewarder. But at the same time, if you've got reward benefits stored up, those benefits aren't benefiting you if you don't have them. And so, you know, and I could say this kind of closing, even as I transitioned into pastoring, this is my dominant gift. I serve. One of the reasons I travel all over the country, it's not, people think sometimes that my pastor Angela and I go to different places, and it's like vacation because they see Atlanta and they see Dallas and Houston and Chicago and all this kind of stuff. Now, trust me, we steal some time to see some stuff when we go, if we have time. Normally, we don't like to fly in and fly out. But the reason I go is because I'm serving. And I'm serving my pastor on my own dime. What you mean on my own dime? He didn't pay for me to fly to these places. And sometimes I fly, and the only thing I have to participate and serve with is sow. Sow and seed. Why sow seed? Because God told me to support his vision. So I'll fly places on my own dime. We'll pay for hotels, all this kind of stuff, eat and all this type of stuff, just to sow seed, and then we go home. And so as I started doing this as pastoring, as a pastor, God says, you know what? You know, son, you've got an entitlement with all everything you do. And you're living below the entitlement you had. This was probably about 3 years ago in 2015. He says, you're living below your entitlement. So I had to begin to discipline my tongue to declare that, God, I thank you. The things that I've sold, support, and served with, you owe me a blessing, and I receive it in Jesus' name. And I didn't really know how a blessing was. But, you know, y'all heard, if you didn't hear, on last Sunday, I told everybody, you know, that someone walked up to Pastor Angela and I and sold a $109,000 check in my life. Come on now. Not to the church, but to me. Not for a project. Yeah. I was the project. And then I said, they don't go to the church. So it's not like they were trying to curry favor with me, anything like that, right? It's just that God raised up people to use their power, ability, and influence to help me. Then, I mean, things like that began to happen. Now, I'm saying that's just one of the biggest testimonies we have. But so many things began to happen when we started saying what we were entitled to. Great Faith Family, all my people who serve, it doesn't matter if you're a minister who serves, a member who serves, you've got to put pressure on life with your mouth. You've got to discipline your tongue because God owes you. And if you don't do this, you're going to low-key get fatigued. And then if you're not careful, you'll give it all up with your mouth by complaining. Why you do me like this, God? Why you do me like that? It looks like somebody else is blessed, God. And don't ever miss out on that. Because here's the key. I always say this, and I'm almost done. You know how the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Everybody heard that, right? So you think that there would be a line around the church all the way down Lake Monroe for people to give into the kingdom if they believed that. But the reason why the receiving part didn't happen after you've given is because this is not in order. Your mouth not in order. This is how we live. Somebody say, I live by my faith. Somebody say, my mouth make things happen. And so no matter how faithful you are, you know, and again, I can have some people out here. I'd serve pastor if the Lord didn't do nothing for me. And there are people who are like that. We came up in a culture like that. We weren't looking for anything but heaven. But then after I started finding out, wait a second, God said it. And if he said it, then he said his word don't go out and return to him void. So I'm going to hold him at his word. He says, the faithful shall abound with blessings. And so that's the thing. We want to make sure that we're receiving the things that we have lined our lives up to receive. All right. So that was point number one. Number two would be, somebody say excellence. Not a really big thing on excellence, but you know how I teach this every Sunday, Luke 6:38, give and it'll be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give you a bosom. With the same measure that you meet, the Bible says, with all you, it'll be measured to you again. So how I hand it out is how I'm going to receive it. How I plan somebody else's party is how my party is planned. So we just finished talking about put your tongue on on the promises of God after you have sown, sown your service and your support in the kingdom of God, that you're entitled to a blessing. Well, one of the things is volunteers. Again, there is a dominant gift on this ministry for excellence. Somebody say dominant gift. And somebody say helps gift. But receiving the reward from the helps gift, you can put your tongue on it, but the time it takes to manifest has to do with how you've measured out your service. So let's kind of get into measuring our service. You know, when I sign up to be a volunteer and they say they need us to be here at like, you know what, 9:15. And I roll in sometimes at 9:51. Right? So that's 31 minutes late. But that's just late. So how I measure things out is how they're measured to me again. Trying to give you a pain reference. You don't want to be on time because Pastor Patrick is watching. Because really, I got too many of y'all to watch. I'm trying to watch me. Am I up in here? Amen. Am I ready to preach? Right? But the thing is, I understand that God oversees the Bible. And if I am excellent, and excellent a lot of times is seen in not just sowing, supporting, and service, but somebody say timeliness. And I know that sometimes we're tired with this and that, but you know, somebody say excuses are the crutches of people who are uncommitted. You know, it's unless now I do have some people who are nurses and they work, you know, overnight, and they do got a little grace. You know, if you work a night shift all the way through and you fell asleep in your car like sometimes they do, well, we're praying for you in Jesus' name, right? But some of us didn't have nothing to do all day Saturday. I'm sorry. Some of us rested all day Saturday. You had something to do. You rested. And somehow or another, you just got here late. The thing is, it's very important because, again, how I measure things out, I know God is faithful to measure it back to me again. And we're serving. Somebody say serving the kingdom. It's amazing. We've had people lately joining our church on prayer nights. We've had people coming and joining our church on Bible study nights, and I don't even do appeal for membership. And specifically, we had a young lady who came and joined, and I don't know if she came on, I'm not sure if she came on Sunday, but she came again on Wednesday night. And she got here at 7:15, and she's got a bunch of kids. And she's running back to children's church, and I'm in the lobby, and she's like, "Are we late, Pastor? Are we late?" I said, no, you're not late, you're not late. We don't start till 7:30. Actually, I take that back. It was 7:20. I said, "We don't start till 7:30. But you can't put your children in children's church yet because ain't nobody here." That's one of those things where, again, check this out. I didn't even look at the schedule to see who was supposed to be there, because that's not what this is about. It's just about excellence in the kingdom. And we just want to make sure we do the best that we can to be excellent, that we can be timely. One of the things that we're never going to do as a church, I don't believe with our culture and the way that we do ministry here, you don't have to be at church like an hour early or anything like that. But what's funny is I have some old CDs and tapes and things that I listened to from my pastor, Apostle Hilliard. And I remember some of them old tapes on how long the members used to have to be at church before. They were Gary and Sonia, they were both members of New Life for 25 years, right? 25 years. How many? 23 years? 23. Okay, that's still a long time. All right. I give you 2 years credit in Jesus' name. All right. How long did y'all have to be at church? An hour early. Y'all, we ain't never asking none of y'all to be here an hour early. Just because I know that the way our culture and the way that we kind of do ministry, things like that. But we do ask, if I'm not mistaken, sometime to be here a half hour, 35 minutes early. If please be on time if you can, because it's great when people come to our house and we hear. Right. So let's make sure that we do our best from that standpoint. All right. Somebody say Pastor loves everybody, but he's got to correct it. He got to correct some things. Last, and then we're complete. Y'all, the Bible says that for us to be kindly and affectionate one to another. And what that simply means is, you know, and even I can say do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Let's make sure as we're volunteering that we're just nice. Okay, let me go below the surface for a second. Nice doesn't mean just being nice when I'm here. Nice means being nice when I'm here and I'm talking about somebody over there. And sometimes we have to understand that we're gossiping low key. You know, we're not talking negatively about them. We're just talking about them. And it's not necessarily tearing them down, but sometimes when we talk amongst ourselves and we question others' motives, that's not cool. You know, because really, somebody say, read between the lines. I mean, the enemy he'll really deceive us and have us thinking that, no, I'm not gossiping, but we're talking around gossip, but it really is gossip. And it leaves different imprints in people's hearts. And also, here's the last thing. The last thing is just, again, let's just make sure that any way that we would want someone to treat us, we do that all the time. Somebody say, God's watching. And that's really, again, that's the heart of our ministry. For Pastor Angie and I, we've talked and said this to our ministers, that we're looking for people at this church to reflect our heart. And our heart is inclusive. Somebody say inclusive. Now, by inclusivity, I'm not saying we, you know, accept every sinful thing that everyone does and just be included. No. No, God has a standard of righteousness, and definitely God accepts everybody who repents. You know, I mean, you know, that's it. But what I mean by inclusivity is I don't like winning and leaving people behind. And this church is about winning. I mean, I want to see you win in your family. I want to see you win in your friendships, your finances. I want to see you win in their focuses. What do you mean your focuses? Your businesses. We got all these entrepreneurs who are business focused. We got people who are career focused. We want to see you win in all those areas. And we don't want to leave anyone behind. So we're willing again to push you in faith to make sure you do that. But what we don't want to ever do is leave others behind because it's fast. We can get to our place faster. Yeah, that's kind of one of those things. I mean, you know, we got faith a long time ago, but at the same time, we understand. No. We can't just go and fit. Now, listen, I ain't telling you to miss out on God's promises, you know, waiting for somebody else. But I am saying as a group, as a church group, we want to see everybody winning. You know, sometimes people talk. It's amazing. I mean, I teach about a lot of different things, but, you know, I believe we should win in every area of life. Somebody say every area. You know, I was just driving here today, and I'll be purchasing a home, you know, in the next few months. But it's all good. But the thing what bothered me, I wouldn't want you to applaud for me. I'm like, we have to move, and we're moving to a place. We have to lease a place for a little bit while we do some things ministry-wise, because as we acquire the new place for the church, I didn't want to be doing a home at the same time. Because, you know, unfortunately, every time the church buys something, the pastor got to sign for it. So they look at my credit. They look at all kinds of stuff. That's just the way it is, right? And I'm cool with that, you know. But at the same time, that wasn't why I brought this up. Why I brought it up is we have to move to a place and lease for a minute, and I'm looking at how high the rents are. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. It's criminal. And I'm like going, no. Nobody should be renting in this market. It's not the will of God for you to be renting. You need to own. Somebody say you need to own. So, you know, that's my thing. When you see different things like that. And also, I don't believe, you know, I hear people, you know, talk about Orlando, that the wages don't match the rents and da-da-da-da-da. That's not the same for faith people. Somebody say, I'm a faith person. Somebody say, my increase always covers. My outgo. Right. So no, we got, again, those are the things that we got to make sure are matching up, but also to the family situation. Somebody say family. You know, what makes our church go is a relationship between Pastor Angela and I. Somebody say relationships make things go. You got to really believe. You got to get this. Because, see, we can never succeed over torn up relationships. So we have an opportunity as a group here of volunteers and people who work within the kingdom of God for this vision that we have, to have partners that cause us to not only one will chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000 a flight, but nothing can be restrained from us as long as we hold it together and as long as we remain in unity. And I'm hoping that we can continue, Pastor Angela and I continue to model that. But the major focus for us, I can't be a good pastor if this is broken. So make sure, if you're serving in the kingdom, that you make sure that you are just as attentive as making sure your house is together. I slipped that one in. I said that wasn't even a point, but I slipped that one in. Somebody say it's important. Man, if you get Everything God promised you, but home is broken, you will be miserable. I can't even enjoy my sandwich when we mad. No, really. I mean, I'm a sandwich maker. If I ever make a sandwich for you, I'm a sandwich maker. But I tell you what, it just don't taste right if I know she mad. It's terrible. And so I understand, no, I got to make sure that this is right. And, you know, as long as this is right, everything else right can be getting right. But I can't be having this getting right. This has got to be right. So make sure that your personal relationships as you serve here, that you're attentive to them. You know, my married couples having your heart to hearts. My single people have a heart to heart with yourself. I'm going to start teaching the principles of heart to heart, just you and Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. You and Jesus go on a date night afterwards. You know what I'm saying? But with it, that's all I had for you on tonight. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. All right.